Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Matthew 6:33. Now, what does it mean to pursue righteousness? Let's talk about it. Welcome to the Jesus Vibes podcast. My name is Calvin, and today we're talking about a concept that appears in many places throughout the Bible, the call to righteousness. Well, first off, let's define, what does righteousness actually mean? Now, in many places throughout the New Testament, righteousness just refers to being right with God, being justified or acceptable in God's sight. And that just comes as a result of putting faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not about your behavior or your conduct. However, in the context of Matthew 6, I would say righteousness is about your behavior and conduct. To be righteous is to be good, to have a good character, or to behave in a way that is acceptable in God's eyes. So this is the definition we're going with in our discussion today. Pursuing this kind of righteousness, though, is not a means of earning salvation, and it's not a means of earning God's love. We are saved by grace through faith, and that is a free gift. So we need to understand that pursuing behavioral righteousness comes as a result of being saved, not in order to be saved. It comes out of a natural love and gratitude towards God. Now, going back to Matthew 6:33, notice that Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Notice that word, "seek it first," meaning make righteousness a priority. And then a chapter earlier, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Matthew 5:6. So Jesus is saying, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Desire it. Long for it. Go after it with everything you've got and pursue it passionately. Now, when we read the book of Proverbs, you can metaphorically picture righteousness as a point right in front of you that you're walking towards. So hear what God says in Proverbs 4. "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." Proverbs 4, verses 25 to 27. And there's the key. If you're pursuing the path of godly moral character, you have to keep your eyes on the prize. And the prize is bringing Jesus Christ glory by your character and conduct. So, how do we keep from swerving off of the path of life? Well, God says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not go on it, turn away from it, and pass on." Proverbs 4, verses 14 to 15. So, what does it mean to enter the path of the wicked? Well, here's what I think. I think too often we say that we want to be pure, we say that we don't want to sin, yet at the same time we try to get as close as we can to sinning without actually doing it. And then we end up sinning anyway because we got so close to the fire. You know, we tell ourselves things like, "Oh, I'm only going to have fun and spend time with this worldly person, but I'm not going to sin like they do." And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves using profanity like they do. We find ourselves bursting out in anger like they do. We begin to compromise our own integrity. Or we could tell ourselves something like, "Oh, I'm going to watch this movie that contains sexual immorality, but I'm not going to let it affect me." But then it does end up affecting us. We begin slipping into unwholesome fantasies and lustful behaviors and whatnot. So Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Matthew 5, verses 29 to 30. So what this means is that we cannot flirt with wickedness. Because here's the thing, who we spend time with is going to influence us. What we consume is going to influence us. The environments we spend our time in are going to influence us. And so if there is something that is going to influence us towards sin or compromising our integrity as Christians, we have to avoid it or get rid of it. But on the flip side, if something is good and stirring you toward righteousness and Christ-likeness, then by all means, make use of it. Spend time with godly friends and influences. And most important of all, be in the Bible. Spend time in God's Word every day. I mean, look at Jesus. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, Jesus responded with the words, "It is written." He was quoting scripture to fight off temptation. So Christ himself used God's word to overcome the temptation to sin. And then the importance of scripture is further confirmed by the psalmist who says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. So the word of God is key to living a righteous and godly life. And there's also a lot of other good resources that are spiritually beneficial as well. There's Christian sermons, podcasts, videos, articles. But we do have to be careful, right? We don't want to get into the habit of just consuming Christian content nonstop. Because if you're just consuming Christian content, there's the danger of avoiding actual intimacy with God. Like, you can spend so much time talking about God and thinking about God that you forget to actually talk to God and hear from him yourself. So instead of going crazy with content consumption and assuming you know what's going to benefit you spiritually, try this. Go before God and ask him, "Lord, how do you want me to pursue righteousness? How do you want me to spend my time? Who should I spend my time with? What content should I take in that'll help me spiritually? Where do you want me to go to encounter you?" Ask God these questions and then take some quiet time to listen. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, because the one thing you don't want to do is try to pursue righteousness in your own strength, because doing that is just going to burn you out. So instead, get into the habit of humbling yourself before God and asking him to lead you. God says, "Hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have taught you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life." Proverbs 4, verses 10 to 13. So, when you do pursue righteousness, do it God's way, not your way or anybody else's. And then finally, remember that pursuing godliness is a process. Sanctification is a process, and it's okay if you're not perfect. It's okay if you stumble, and it's okay if it takes you time. I mean, sometimes you might need even a break from trying, and you might need to just rest in the fact that Jesus died for your sins, and through his shed blood, you have right standing before God. You know, if you put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Sometimes it's just good to rest in that truth. But at the end of the day, when it comes to forming your character, don't quit, right? Don't quit fighting to become the person that God has called you to be. Pursue righteousness relentlessly. And to close, I give you these verses. "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up." Galatians 6, 8 through 9. May the Lord bless you, and all praise, all honor, all glory be to God forever, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.